Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer of the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. Two big show openings are coming to the Strip this week, and I've got some interviews for both of them. Def Leppard opens its second Las Vegas residency Wednesday night at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood, and you're going to listen to lead singer Joe Elliott talk all about it. And the SLS has a real-life resident show starting Friday in the Foundry. It's called Blanc de Blanc, and I spoke with the creator of the show, Scott Maidment, about bringing what he calls a champagne cabaret to Vegas for the first time. That's coming up in this episode of The Sun on the Strip. But first, some hot and fresh music news. Yet another festival has popped up out of nowhere and landed at the Las Vegas Festival Grounds, operated by MGM Resorts and located just across the strip from SLS on the corner of Las Vegas Boulevard and Sahara Avenue. This one is called Intersect. It's set for December 6th and 7th. It's presented by Amazon Web Services, and the headliners are pretty huge. Foo Fighters, Casey Musgraves, Beck, and Anderson .Paak. Also on the Phase 1 bill, which means there are many more acts to come to be named later, are Brandi Carlile, Churches, Flying Lotus, Her, Leon Bridges, Spoon, Thundercat, and more. It's a pretty edgy lineup already. There's going to be three stages, plus art installations, tech experiences, some kind of fancy food program, I'm sure. Pretty crazy. It wasn't even 2 months ago that the Day in Vegas Hip Hop Festival was announced for the same outdoor venue. That one's November 1st through 3rd, and before that, it was the Metarama Gaming and Music Festival, which is coming up October 19th and 20th. It's pretty amazing. This place that was seemingly carved out for Rock in Rio, which did not last, is suddenly the home of three big new festivals in 3 months. Tickets for the new one, Intersect, go on sale this Friday at intersect.aws. Meanwhile, at the super huge venue on the south end of the strip, T-Mobile Arena, George Strait, who's been selling out shows there since it opened, and he began his Straight to Vegas country music residency series. He's added two dates in 2020. He'll perform January 31st and February 1st at T-Mobile. Tickets go on sale next Friday, August 23rd. Strait will play the arena August 23rd and 24th, and again on December 6th and 7th, of course, when the rodeo's in town. But good luck getting tickets to those shows. One T-Mobile concert you definitely won't see is Lynyrd Skynyrd this weekend. Southern Rock Band's farewell tour has postponed their Friday, August 16th show due to original guitarist Gary Rossington, who has a leaky heart valve. He had surgery last month. He's recovering. And the band is now scheduled to play in Vegas on October 18th. Still at T-Mobile Arena, still with openers Bad Company. Speaking of T-Mobile Arena, there's a whole lot of traffic on the strip right in front of the park, the mini strip of restaurants and bars that runs from Las Vegas Boulevard between New York, New York, and Park MGM back to Toshiba Plaza and T-Mobile Arena. And that's because the new pedestrian bridge under construction is slowing things down quite a bit, but it's coming along quickly. The bridge runs over Las Vegas Boulevard, basically between the Eataly entrance at Park MGM and the Showcase Mall on the east side of the street. Showcase Mall is also under construction and eventually will house a Target store set to open in 2020. The bridge is scheduled to be complete sometime in October, just in time for the upcoming Vegas Golden Knights NHL season at T-Mobile. The team's first regular season home game is October 2nd. I doubt it will be finished by then, but hopefully all those Las Vegas hockey fans parking all over the South Strip and walking to the arena, as well as the thousands of visiting fans each game, won't have to wait too long to venture across the bridge. The crosswalk that has been used across Las Vegas Boulevard on that block will cease to exist once the bridge is operational. Right next to that bridge, there's a new restaurant called Crack Shack. It's a fancy fried chicken joint from Top Chef favorite Richard Blaze that opened on Sunday. Technically, Crack Shack is part of Park MGM, but you can't get to the chicken from the casino. You have to walk out on the strip to access the new restaurant. I wrote all about it this week at LasVegasSun.com, and I'm going to share some of my interview with Richard Blaze in Las Vegas Weekly's new food podcast, Second Helping, in the September episode. So check that out in a few weeks at lasvegasweekly.com. All right, let's talk rock. Def Leppard, the British band inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame earlier this year, played its first Vegas residency at the Hard Rock Hotel 6 years ago, back when the joint was really setting the standards for rock bands doing limited engagements in Vegas. There was Motley Crue, there was Guns N' Roses, a few others. Now, the group behind Pour Some Sugar on Me and Hysteria and Rock of Ages is moving on up to the Strip at Zappos Theater for Def Leppard Hits Vegas, the Sin City Residency, which promises to be an even bigger show with 8 shows this month at Planet Hollywood and 4 in September. I recently spoke with lead singer Joe Elliott while the band was touring Europe, and they are all very excited to get back to Vegas. Check it out.
Let me start by offering you a late congratulations on the band's induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. That's pretty amazing.
It is. The more time passes, you find out more facts that you never thought about. Like, apparently, as of right now, there's only 330 artists in the Hall of Fame. Somebody would have said to me in 1977 when we first put this band together, that we'd be one of them one day. I'd be like going, yeah, righto. Well, you know, it's been a hell of a ride, really, since kind of about 18 months ago when we started getting whispers of possibilities of it all. You know, we were like, we weren't avoiding it, but we were just oblivious to it, really, because we just never thought we'd be invited, you know, because you did get the impression over the years that it was the exclusive club for the cool kids, of which we never thought that people would consider us to be. So we just ploughed our own little furrow, you know, and got on with our career, never really expecting anything. But then when we heard about the fan vote, which, again, by the time we found out about it, it had been going on for about 3 or 4 years, it made a huge difference in our, I don't want to say appreciation of it, but our acceptance of it, if you like, that if the fans were involved, which we would consider the real people, then it puts a whole new twist on it. So it was nice for them that we got in this year.
So you guys are headed back to Vegas for a new residency show at Planet Hollywood this summer. Why was now the right time to come back to Vegas for this residency and do it bigger than you did before?
Well, because last year was an enormous commitment to an American tour. When we went out with Journey, we did 60 shows, you know, between 10 stadiums and 50 giant arenas and all that kind of stuff. We just can't come back a year later and expect to do the same thing, you know, but we didn't want to kind of just disappear out of sight, you know. So it was the perfect year, really. We've got the year started off for us with the Hall of Fame. And then we're currently in Europe. I mean, as I speak to you, we're this day off in Oslo, in Norway. We played a place called Trondheim last night, which is, it has to be near the Arctic Circle, because in the middle of June, or the end, towards the end of June, it was 46 degrees, which is like, wow. It's freezing cold. Yeah. And it was raining, and it was windy, and it was outdoors, and it was kind of difficult, but, you know, good crowd. And we've got Oslo tomorrow night, and then we're heading to Germany, and then we've got Spain, and then we've got 3 weeks in Canada. So we haven't been, other than in Brooklyn for the Hall of Fame, we haven't been in America this year at all. So to go over in August for what is essentially 12 shows in one city, we consider that kind of off the beaten track from what you'd call your regular touring situation. So it was the perfect year for us to come back and do it. You know, we haven't been there since 2013, 6 years ago, since we did the Viva Hysteria residency, and this one is going to be vastly different to that. So we're not doing the same show, and hopefully we won't do the same show twice either. We're rehearsing a ton of songs that we've either not played for a long time and never played ever, and mixing them in with the ones that we couldn't get out of the room if we didn't play. So it'll be interesting to pick in a set every time we play, because, you know, there are certain songs we have to play. And when I say that, I'm not saying that because other than we want to play him. You know what I mean? And when we say we have to play him, it's not a case of there'd be a lynching if we didn't. There could possibly be one. I don't know. But with us, we've never been scared of the hit. You know, it's like our mantra has always been, if you can't handle the responsibility of writing a hit, then don't write it. I'm more than happy for the rest of my life while I'm physically able to sing Photograph, Rock of Ages, Pour Some Sugar on Me, Fooling, you know, whatever. I'm more than happy to do them because you get such a kick doing them on stage in front of an audience that feels the same way I feel when I'm out front watching McCartney doing Helter Skelter or the Stones doing Gimme Shelter or whatever, you know. You transpose yourself into that situation. You never get bored of doing the songs. You may do in rehearsals, but not so much in front of an audience. So it's a perfect time to do it. You know, it's 12 shows. It's over 3 weeks. I've got mates there. We get to sleep in the same bed for 30 days. You know, what's wrong with this picture?
When you guys did that Hard Rock residency a few years back, did that teach you anything about Las Vegas or the Las Vegas audience that you didn't already know before? Because you guys have been coming to Vegas for many years on tours and stuff like that. But it's a different, like you just said, it's a different animal when you're here for weeks like that.
Yeah, we've done Vegas the same way as that we've done New York, L.A., San Francisco. You're in for the night, you're out, you know. I've got friends in Vegas. I've stayed there before. You're aware of Vegas through TV shows and just reputation that you read about it. And for us, Brit, that didn't set foot in America till I was 21 years old, the Vegas that we were aware of was like the Ocean's 11 original version, if you like. And it was the Dean Martins and the Sammy Davis and the Sinatras and the Wayne Newtons that we were aware of that were kind of elephant's graveyards where you went to die sort of thing. But what you're getting now is you're getting these short residences where you're in and out. You're not there for 10 years, unless you're Celine or Elton, which is, again, it's become cool to do that. But for us, it's nice to be part of the new Vegas, if you like, because, you know, we've seen over the last 10 years or so residences from the likes of The Who, Prince, ourselves, I think Bon Jovi may have done one, I'm not sure, Aerosmith, you know, Motley Crue, etc., as well as just the obvious solo artists like your J-Lo's and your Britney's and stuff. The rock it's accepted now. It's cool. And there's a whole new Vegas. It's very modern. It's digital. It's all swanky and Pirates of the Caribbean. It's not so much Ocean's 11 anymore, you know, and I like that. And I like the fact that on the odd day off that we'll have, we can go and see other stuff that you can only dream about seeing when you're not there, like Love, if it's still on, the Beatles one, you know, the Cirque du Soleil thing. I've seen it twice already, and I would go and see it every day from a different seat if I had the chance. So, you know, the main difference between, for me, as a human being, the main difference between this residency and the one 6 years ago is that one was in April when the temperature was actually kind of normal. But on this particular residency, it's going to be like 110, I'm told. It's anywhere between 100 and 120 degrees temperature. So outdoor jogging's off. it's going to be a different beast looking after the body and looking after, you know, just making sure that you can actually get up on and perform those nights, because it is a desert. It's dry. It's not a great... oddly enough, for somewhere that's a residency for a lot of singers, it's not the greatest environment for a singer. Mm-hmm. You know, you need like humidifiers the size of cars in your room, you know. So there's the little details that we have to take care of. I mean, we wouldn't have said yes if we didn't want to do it. Nobody's pushing us to do anything here. It was the opportunity to come back and do a vastly different show to the last time that we came. It's going to be a big production. We want it to look and sound good. I mean, that's the whole point of doing a show these days. It has to be a visual feast as well as an audio feast, if you like. And it's just great. It can be kind of intimate, even though it's going to be bigger than it was last time. It's still a theater in the sense of it's not a massive arena. So you are closer to the crowd, and that gives it a totally different energy as well. And as I say, we get to change the setup as often as we like for the 12 shows that we're there. So I'm sure there'll be some people going, oh, I didn't get to hear such and such a song, but they will get something else instead. And they can trade off stories of regret or delight, depending on their point of view, you know. It'll be an interesting month.
Def Leppard opens tonight at Planet Hollywood. I'm going to go, and you can read my review Friday online at LasVegasSun.com. Blanc de Blanc makes its Las Vegas debut at the Foundry at SLS on Friday night. It is a funny and sexy and acrobatic show from Australia's Strut and Fret production house. Hopefully you saw my Monday feature at LasVegasSun.com about this new cabaret-style show and its significance for the resort, which, of course, is changing into Sahara Las Vegas this fall. I got to talk to Strut and Fret founding director and Blanc de Blanc creator Scott Maidment about how this show is a perfect match for what the Sahara Las Vegas is trying to connect with or reconnect with. Sounds pretty interesting. Sounds pretty different. Listen for yourself.
We're pretty pumped about it. It's been a long time in the making, and it's super exciting.
What was the, I guess, inspiration for Blanc de Blanc? I'm sure it wasn't just an extension of other things that you had done. What was kind of the jumping off point or the spark to create this show?
Yeah, the jumping off point was really, it was about the type of night that I, you know, personally would like to have is, you know, start out, it's like drinking a bottle of champagne. You start out smooth and sophisticated and think you might be a little bit posh, but by the end of the night, you're all a little bit giddy on your feet and you're partying on and having a bit of a boogie and, you know, totally engrossed in kind of the experience of the evening. So that metaphor of, you know, drinking a bottle of champagne is really where the inspiration of the show came from. And we kind of tracked that journey. At the start of the show, it really has kind of an old school vintage glamour about it. But by the end of the night, you feel like you're kind of, you know, partying on in a nightclub. So, you know, I think that's the type of experience that I personally, you know, am up for having, where it starts out smooth and ends up partying on, and that's the experience that I want the audience to have.
It does sound very Vegas-y, I must say.
yeah, it is. And so I think that's why, you know, we've kind of found synergy in that, you know, you start the evening out sophisticated and maybe you end up a little bit trashed by the end of it.
Mm-hmm. What's your experience been like so far just spending time in Las Vegas, getting to know the people at the resort, getting settled in at the venue, and just kind of acclimating yourself to the Las Vegas entertainment culture so far? How's that going for you?
Look, I guess it's one of the exciting things. You know, we travel to a lot of international festivals all around the world, and usually for that, you know, month or a couple of months, the festival becomes focused on entertainment and focused on the shows throughout the town. And I guess Las Vegas is really like a year-round festival, you know. It's amazing to be in, you know, a relatively small city where the whole city is focused on entertainment and nightlife and having a great time. And that kind of energy, you know, we're used to playing in small doses, but Vegas has it all year round. And, you know, that's a super exciting environment to be in. And I think that's personally one of the things that, you know, that's driven me to be part of this experience is that, you know, I'm really excited by, you know, the energy in the city. And also, you know, everybody on a kind of, you know, everybody that I've met along the way, like Vegas locals, they have a real pride in their city and they have a real pride in what's going on in the town. And, you know, that's kind of exciting too, because you don't often feel that in, you know, bigger cities, because everybody's got a different interest. But I feel like in Vegas, everybody has a personal, everybody who lives there has a personal investment in making Vegas the most exciting and the most fun place it can be. And that's a super exciting energy to be around.
Mm-hmm. It must also be exciting to be bringing the show to the resort that you're going to. Obviously, it's in a transition, moving from SLS to becoming Sahara Las Vegas and reconnecting with its, you know, very iconic classic Las Vegas roots. But also, this resort hasn't really had like a resident show on a consistent basis since it did reopen 5 years ago or something like that. So you guys are really stepping into
absolutely. Absolutely. It's super great timing, and it's super exciting to be part of kind of the renaissance of this venue and the energy that that it creates. And I think that's why it's kind of perfect that as you said, it's a very tip, Blanc de Blanc is a very, you know, seems right at home in Vegas, and going back to the roots of the Sahara and the timing of all that has worked out perfectly for us. You know, I think it was part of their plan right away when they knew that it was eventually going to evolve into the Sahara to say, look, we're creating something that's having a new residency there, and you know, we're lucky enough to be part of that renaissance, and the energy that has, you know, come to the property based on, you know, reclaiming that name that everybody loves so much, and the great history of it, you know. And anybody who, even if they haven't been to Vegas ever before, the Sahara is such a well-known brand because of its, you know, amazing rich history, and it's exciting to be part of the new wave of that.
I have to ask about the hot tub situation.
Yeah.
VIP hot tub seats. Is that something that is going to be active immediately, or still being developed, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, it's one of the things. It came about when we originally did the show in the Sydney Opera House. There's a hot tub that's part of the performance of the show, and the audience got so involved that they decided to jump into the hot tub with the MC of the show, and you know, it was crazy that people would come to see a show and then they'd just get so involved that they'd actually jump into the water. And then when we went to London, we said, oh well, London audiences are very conservative, and you know, no one's ever going to do that there. And so we said, well, this won't happen. We won't have to worry about it. But then it happened in London as well. And so when we decided to come to Vegas, it was one of those things where we went, okay, instead of just maybe audience being able to jump in, let's actually set something up for Vegas. And let's actually make an experience, because everybody goes to the pool in the resorts, and everybody's used to, you know, drinking in the pool. And imagine if you could actually drink in a hot tub while you're watching the show. And so we're actually setting up these hot tubs in the theater space, where you can actually book a hot tub. And because I can't think that there's anywhere else in the world that this has ever happened before, then, you know, it's kind of a bit of a first for Vegas. And so we're kind of breaking all the precedents in doing this. And so, you know, it's pretty exciting to be able to do it. And you know, we're really pumped that this is going to happen for the first time in Vegas.
Blanc de Blanc will run at 7 p.m. Thursday through Monday, with 9:30 p.m. late shows on Saturday at SLS. I'm really excited about this one. It sounds a little bit like Absinthe, if you're a fan of that, but with a little more kind of old school Vegas glam tossed in. I plan to check it out very soon. What is taking over the strip this week? One word: magic. The Fashion Mega Convention is having its fall marketplace show this week. Wraps up Wednesday at the Las Vegas Convention Center and Mandalay Bay Convention Center. That's how big it is. I think Magic was expecting 80,000 attendees this year, but that might be a low estimate. My one big show this week, well, I want to say Janet Jackson, because her last concert at Park Theater is August 17th, Saturday night. So definitely go to that if you can. But there's also Def Leppard. There's also Diana Ross at Encore Theater this weekend. And Paula Abdul is at the Flamingo doing a bit of a test run preview for her new show. Tough picks, I know. If you can't decide, just click on my Best Bets column this Friday and every Friday at LasVegasSun.com. That's going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Don't forget to listen to this podcast at iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever you like to call it. Go ahead and tap a few stars or give us a review. Help us get noticed when you're looking for Las Vegas podcasts. I hope Sun on the Strip is at the top of your list. Thanks so much for listening. Hope to catch you next week.